Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out to them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch."
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open to where Jordan just read for us, Luke chapter 5. If you're using one of the pew Bibles, that's on page 860, Luke chapter 5. We'll pick up there in just a moment. It is great to see each of you here the third Sunday of the new year. For those of you who are visiting with us, we're grateful for your presence and hope that your new year is off to a good start as well. And I want to remind both our members and for those of you who might be visiting with us today, if you happen to be back with us next week, and for everyone maybe who's been worshiping with us just here more recently, next Sunday morning after our morning worship, we will be celebrating our new members from this past year and the good things that God has done for us over 2018 with what we usually call our new members potluck. But that potluck is not just for our new members, it's for everybody. So if you're visiting with us, we want you to be a part of that. But especially for our members, just a quick reminder to bring a dish or two. And let's stick around together next Sunday and enjoy each other's company and fellowship as we reflect on God's goodness towards us. If you are visiting with us for the first time this year, our theme for 2019 is Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 19, "Come, follow me." Those words, that phrase specifically, we've looked at the past 2 weeks as Jesus expressed it to the rich young ruler. And throughout this year, we're going to look at different instances where people had the choice to follow Christ, and some took him up on that. As we looked at the rich young ruler, not everyone did, but today we're going to look at one well-known example of somebody who certainly followed Christ. But before we talk about him specifically, one thing that we just sort of need to put out there on the table, and I hope maybe we just need to clarify this, because there have been times when I was younger, I would read the New Testament, I'd read the Gospels, and you would see Jesus just come up to people, and sometimes the way it read, it was just sort of random, right? He'd go up to somebody and say, "Come follow me." And people just all of a sudden start following him. And you thought, well, yeah, I know he's Jesus, but in this moment, this person didn't know that he's the Savior and the Son of God and all this. And they just, sometimes they just leave everything, they just go follow Jesus. And that's really weird. And you know, if you want an experiment this week, go into Walmart and walk up to some random person and say, "Come follow me." See how that works out for you. You might end up on the evening news. So sometimes the way you read the Gospels, people think, wow, well, maybe it's because he's God and Jesus is just sort of overpowering them. Well, if that was true, that would really minimize Jesus' deity. If he has to, you know, overtake somebody's free will for them to follow him, that's not really faith, is it? And I certainly don't think that's what happens. Because as we've looked at the past 2 weeks with the rich young ruler, they had the choice. And some, like the rich young ruler, said, "No, I've got better things I need to be doing. I've got other things that are occupying my time and attention." And so as you really read the Gospels in their fullness, What seems to be the case, and I certainly can't make this case with every single person because we don't know all the details and background to every example, but what seems to be the case is these people had prior interactions with Jesus. They had heard him teach. They had seen him work miracles. Maybe they had heard word on the street about him. But they had enough evidence. They knew enough about him to know this is somebody worth following. And when Jesus calls the 12 that we will eventually call the apostles. Sometimes it seems like he just says, follow me, and they just, all right, well, I'm going to do that. Well, today we're going to look at Peter, and we're going to talk a lot about Peter as we go throughout this year, because if you want to talk about discipleship, and if you want to look at examples of those who really follow Jesus, Peter's one of the best examples. We're going to look at the moment where he really just begins following Jesus. But before we get to that, I just want to give you a little background information. It goes back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 shows Jesus in the region of Galilee. The passage that Jordan read in chapter 5 talks about the Lake Gennesaret. That's the same thing as the Sea of Galilee. But in this region, the northern part of Israel, Jesus is going throughout these different communities, many times fishing communities, working class communities, places where, as you read Acts chapter 2, people aren't known as being the most educated or most sophisticated. But Jesus is going to these people, and he's teaching them. Sometimes he's teaching them in the community. Many times he's teaching them in synagogues. And Luke chapter 4 gives us that. But then when you get to Luke chapter 4, verse 38, we're introduced, at least in Luke's account, we're introduced to this man named Simon. We know his full name is Simon Peter. He'll also have the name Cephas as you read Scripture. But we see it says, Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. And it was there at Simon's house that Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And as you read that, it seems to be that Jesus and Peter, even in that moment, had prior knowledge of each other. Jesus knew that there was a mother-in-law of Peter's that needed healing. And so you have this background information, and I just want to put that out there to say, when we get to Luke chapter 5, and all of a sudden, you know, Peter, and he's going to see another miracle. He's going to be amazed. But this isn't going to be Peter's first interaction with Jesus. But he knew. He knew enough about Jesus at this point to know this. This is somebody worth following. This is somebody who very well could change everything about my life. This is somebody, and while in the moment he doesn't know this, this is somebody who has the keys to the kingdom and everlasting life. But in this moment in Luke chapter 5, Peter's really not being haphazard. He's prepared. He knows enough, he has enough information that he is prepared in this moment to make a great decision, a great commitment. And for us this morning, the question before us is, if we're really going to follow Jesus, are we prepared in the same way that Peter was prepared? Are we prepared to do the same things, experience the same things? Because you never might know just what Jesus calls us to do by faith. Not that he overtakes our free will, but he invites us to come follow him. The first thing that we see about Peter, picking up where Jordan left off this morning, is that Peter, he was prepared to obey, even though he was reluctant. Prepare to obey even if reluctant. And a lot of times when we think about obedience, we've got to confess to something. We have to admit to the reality that sometimes obedience is a lot harder than we make it sound. Sometimes we're not really sure why God has called us to do certain things. Sometimes we're not sure why maybe God has placed us in certain situations. But we know what obedience asks us to do. And we see this preparation, this readiness, this willingness in Peter's heart. When, again, Jesus has gone out into the sea, he's teaching people. And it says when he had finished speaking in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he says this to Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. In some ways, this request of Jesus is like us, seemingly, is like us going to Walmart and say, you know, come follow me. You know, here's an experienced fisherman like Peter. Now, Jesus grew up in Israel. He knew, I'm sure, enough about fishing to know what success and failure look like, but I'm pretty confident Peter was a more experienced fisherman than Jesus. Peter's immediate reply is, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. What's Peter saying? This just really doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now. I'm an experienced fisherman. I have this fishing business. We've been fishing all night. It's been a bad night. We brought nothing in. This isn't the time of day to even be trying to fish. Sometimes there are things that the Lord asks of us and requires of us that doesn't meet our present understanding, that doesn't match up with our past experiences, that doesn't go along with things that the world is saying. That's where come follow me is really tested. That's where faith and trust are really found. When it doesn't always make sense, when it goes against the grain, when it doesn't flow with the current of culture. But I love what Peter says next. But at your word, I will let down the nets. At your word, I'll give this a try. I'll just speak to my personal experience for a moment. And I hope all of us in here who are Christians can relate to this. There have been moments, there have been seasons of my life where a lot of things didn't make sense spiritually. I couldn't get it all to fit in my mind. And I'm not proud to say this, there were times where I went along and just did what made sense in my mind. You know what I found out when I did things my own way? It just didn't work out the way I had hoped. It didn't work out the way I had thought it would or should. But I can also attest to moments in my life where a lot of things didn't make sense, a lot of things didn't match up, and I had a choice of whether or not to do things Blaine's way, or maybe do things the world and culture's way. Or I could say, Lord, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but at your word, I'm going to do this. There have been moments where I really didn't feel like praying. We sang about prayer a little while ago. And I thought, you know, the Lord has told me prayer could do me a lot of good in this moment, and so I'm just going to pray right now. Don't feel like it. Don't really want to, but I'm at your word, I'm going to pray. It did me a lot of good. You might be surprised to hear this, but there are times when this preacher hasn't felt like going to church. I know, I have to show up now. But it didn't really feel, I wasn't all that inspired to go. A lot of things have been filling my time and occupying my heart. I said, you know, this is where I need to be. This is where I'm supposed to be. At your word, Lord. You know what I found in those moments? Did me a lot of good. In this passage, Jesus is going to take this moment and this figure of fishing, and he's going to make a bigger application to it. He's going to say, yeah, you might be fishing for fish right now, but later he's going to tell Peter, from here on out, I'm going to send you out, you're going to fish, and you're going to be catching souls of men and women. You know, there have been times in my life, again, I know I'm not supposed to say this, there have been times in my life I did not feel like sharing the gospel with somebody else. There have been times in my life where I've looked at people in their situation and said, that person wouldn't be interested. That person doesn't fit the mold of somebody whose life is going in the direction of Christ. At your word. God has put us here, not just Peter and the apostles, God has put us here to be fishing for the souls of men and women. Now, I'm not going to tell you that every time that by faith that I've opened my mouth on behalf of the Lord, not every time did somebody respond. But you know what I have found? That every time that I did, in faith, share the good news with somebody else. First, it made a difference in me. There have been many times where I've seen it make a difference in other people's lives as well. Because we've done something at His word, not by our word, not by our logic, but at His word. And here's the thing, come follow me. If I only do the things that the Lord has commanded me to do that make sense to me, I'm not following the Lord. We're just sort of walking side by side for a while. But that's not Him leading me. It's especially in those moments when things don't make sense, when I don't want to do something, where it goes against the grain, where I say, you know, at Your word, Lord, yeah, I'm going to do this. I know enough about You to know that You are good, You are faithful, You are trustworthy. And if You've said to do something, I'm just going to do it. Because You've invited me to follow You, and I've made the decision to follow You. And so it's okay to be reluctant. That's what Peter shows us here. But in our reluctance, it's not okay to disobey. And sometimes that's the greatest picture of faith. To obey, to be prepared to obey even when we're reluctant. The next thing that we see with Peter is, in the moment, he's ready to be amazed. Even if it scares him to death. Prepare to be amazed, even if you're afraid. Listen to how the story continues in verse 6. It says, and when they had done this, Peter and his team of fishermen, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. So Peter and company, they throw down their nets, had a horrible night fishing. I love the detail that Luke gives. Their boats are so full of fish that they begin to sink. I've not done a whole lot of fishing in my life, but the little bit I've done, I've never experienced a boat that was sinking because it had so many fish in it. And so you immediately think, you know, this is an amazing and an astonishing thing. And Peter is amazed. Everybody, Luke tells us, everybody who sees this happening, everybody is amazed, as you should be. But Peter is more than amazed, isn't he? This scares him to death. He's starting to come to terms, at least on some level, with the kind of person he's dealing with. He says, depart from me. Get away from me, for I am a sinful man. Now, maybe to some of us, saying that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but to me it makes a lot of sense when you put it all together. I don't think Peter yet is fully ready to say, I believe that this is the Messiah. But I believe at this point, Peter certainly knows enough about Jesus to know this is no ordinary man. And I am very ordinary. Here I am, just a fisherman from Capernaum, just trying to raise my family, just trying to do the best I can. But I got a lot of flaws. I've got a lot of sin. And this man, he seems perfect in every way. And he's doing stuff I've never seen before. And I don't deserve to be in his presence. And in fact, it's a little bit scary to be in his presence. It reminds me of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Somewhat different situation, but Isaiah has this great vision of the heavenly throne. He He sees God in his fullness. What's his response? Get away from me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean. You know, I'm unclean. Everybody around me is unclean. I have no reason to be close to the presence of God. Peter has a similar reaction to Jesus here. And sometimes, if we really follow Jesus, if we get serious about following Jesus, you know what we're going to discover? What we're going to see? We will see ourselves more clearly and more fully than ever before. And that usually isn't the most exciting or welcoming thing. See, the more you see Jesus in his fullness, the more you will see yourself, the more I see myself in my sin, in my imperfection. I don't meet up to the standard of deserving him. None of us do. And the closer you come into contact with Christ, the more that will become apparent to you. And so there's good reason for us to think, hey, I don't want to get too close to Jesus. And as we've talked about the past couple of weeks, we've talked about a man who didn't want to be with Jesus. Maybe he was afraid of what that close contact might do to him. It might just change him after all. That's the point, isn't it? And how does the Lord respond to us? Same way he responded to Peter. Don't be afraid. Yeah, you've got reason to be afraid. But when you really understand who I am, the kind of Lord I am, the kind of Savior I am, you don't need to be afraid. But be prepared to be amazed. Because the closer you come to the Lord, the more closely you follow him, there will be moments in your life where you will be amazed. Now, I'm not going to tell you you get to go fishing today in Bean Station and your boats start to sink. But in some ways, the amazement is even more special by the changes he can make in our lives spiritually, the changes that he can make in other people's lives. Don't sell the Lord short. Again, to apply this to evangelism, sometimes we look at other people. We think there's no hope. Maybe we look at ourselves and think there's no hope. Be prepared to be amazed at what the Lord can do when we really allow him to come into personal contact with our lives, our situations, and our souls. And yes, sometimes that is scary because it involves change, causes us to do things that we normally wouldn't have done otherwise. It takes us to places we otherwise would not have gone. But be prepared. And then finally, as we close out this passage in Luke chapter 5 of Peter following Jesus, we need to prepare to abandon, even if it looks reckless. Be prepared to abandon. Not abandon the Lord, but really abandon everything else. After telling Simon, "Do not be afraid, from now on you will be catching men," it says, "And when they had brought their boats to land," they, and when it says they here, I think it's talking about Peter and those that were named along with him, James and John, they left everything and followed him. They left everything and followed him. As I read this passage, in my view, everything here, I don't think he abandoned his family. He continued to be a good husband and father and son-in-law and things like that. I think especially what Luke is talking about here is Peter's business and livelihood as a fisherman. I don't know how successful Peter was as a fisherman, but this was his livelihood. This is what he did for a living. This is how he took care of everyone. And I can only imagine that there were those in the Galilean region who knew Peter as a fisherman, and whether they saw it in this moment or they heard about it in the days and weeks to come, they thought, man, this guy's crazy. Think about maybe some of his competitors. I mean, sure, they'd probably been good for them. One less boat in the sea. Did you hear that Peter and some of these other guys around him, did you hear that they left everything? So they followed that guy, that rabbi, so to speak, from Nazareth? Wow. That's what they did. Now, you think that would have been scary for Peter and company? I bet there was something scary about that. Just to leave it all, to follow Jesus. And probably to a lot of people, it looked rather reckless. You know, and to some degree, I'm speaking from personal experience, but in a lot of ways, I'm not. But you know, when somebody, and don't think that I'm saying that everybody has to give their lives to what you might call full-time ministry, although for a Christian, hopefully we're in full-time ministry. But I will say this, when I was contemplating changing course in my life and doing what I do now, you probably wouldn't be surprised to know that there were a few people who, like, all right, hope that works out for you. A lot of times they would say, God bless you, but they said it in the southern kind of way, right? It really wasn't a compliment. I've known a lot of people who've tried to talk, both men and women, who give their lives to ministry or mission works, say, yeah, that's really great, that's really noble, but what's on the other end of that but? Money. How's that going to work out financially for you? How are you going to be able to support a family and do things like that? You know, there have been a lot of good and well-meaning people throughout history who've been held back from making bold decisions because they're worried about money. I'm not just talking about ministry, I'm talking about a lot of other things as well. You know, since they're not here today, I'll be specific. I think about Oscar and Donna Farley. The decision they made years ago, and people like them, who make the decision to foster or adopt in a season of life where maybe in a lot of people's eyes it might not make a lot of sense, or you got health issues, or you got all these other issues and factors that in everybody else's eyes, you need to be thinking about some of this stuff. What about the money? People say, you know what? It might appear reckless to other people, but I'm going to do this by faith. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to step out of what the world would do. I'm going to step out from even maybe what my brothers and sisters Christ might think I should do. I'm just going to follow Jesus. And for each of us in each of our life situations, that looks different. But I believe that there are moments when we might not be asked to literally abandon everything, but we might be asked to abandon quite a bit. That rich young ruler, he was asked to abandon pretty much everything, wasn't he? Not his responsibilities to family and friends, but to put the material stuff of this world aside, to really follow Jesus. He didn't do it. Peter did do it. Last week, the question I left you with is, what's the one thing that most stands in the way of you following Christ? I think for Peter it was fishing. I really do. Partly because that was his livelihood, and partly because I think the man just loved to fish. He'd been around the water his whole life. By the way, you get to the end of John's gospel, there's some uncertainty about what's going on with Jesus after the crucifixion. What's Peter say? I'm going fishing. He liked to fish. He said, hey, if this stands in the way, I'll leave it to follow you. What about us? Are we willing to do those things that cause us to abandon, whether it's our comfort, whether it's the norm, whether it's what people expect of us? to follow Jesus, even if it appears reckless. I'm reminded of Paul. A whole lot of people would have thought Saul of Tarsus was crazy, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, as the Apostle Paul, he says, I know I look like a fool for Christ. He's not ashamed or embarrassed by that. Whether it was Paul or Peter or James and John or so many others, those who really left it all to follow Jesus, do you think they look back on it in the grand scheme of things and said, you know what, I made the wrong decision? No, didn't regret it one bit. It was hard, it wasn't easy. But that's where really living was found for them. This week, the takeaway I want to leave you with, the follow this week, I've told you I'm going to try to do this every week. Give you at least one little practical tidbit to take away from the lesson. Do something out of the ordinary for Christ this week. I've left that really generic because in your situation, what you face on a day-to-day or weekly basis, it might differ. It might involve doing something financially. Giving to a special cause or helping somebody with a special need in the moment just because you put your faith in Jesus and you know this could go a long way in somebody's life. For some of us, it might not involve money. I don't want to make this all about material things, but it just might be, you know, there's somebody out there who really needs me this week and, you know, I've made the excuses of time or I just haven't felt like doing this, but at your word, Lord, at your word, I'm going to go help this person. Or maybe it's somebody who needs that spiritual conversation. Who needs you, who needs me. Say, you know what, I've been thinking about you, I've been praying for you, and let's just put it on the table. You know what? I can tell things aren't good in your life right now, spiritually speaking. What can I do to help? It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Him. At your word, Lord, I'll let down my nets. And if we're really following Jesus, we will find on a regular basis that there are these moments where we're tested. Tested to go against our comfort, tested to go against our logic, tested to go against the norm. But at your word and because of who you are, work through me and open my eyes to be amazed at what you can do through me. This morning, if you need to come to Christ, whether something's been holding you back because it didn't make sense, whether something's been holding you back because you've been afraid, or whether something's holding you back because it might appear reckless in people's eyes, don't let these things hold you back anymore. Come follow Jesus. If you need to put Him on in baptism, yeah, to some people it doesn't always make sense. Some people it looks a little bit foolish. But that's part of His invitation to us. To find redemption, forgiveness, new life, to begin this walk of discipleship. If you've not put Christ on, if you've let these things hold you back, don't let it hold you back any longer. Come to Him today. For those of us who are Christians, let's follow Him with all we have. Along the way, we'll be amazed. Might be surprised. But it's amazing thing. Amazing things happen when we truly give ourselves to Him. If you need help in following Christ this morning, please come forward while we stand and sing.